The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So we want to officially welcome everybody to the podcast today. We want to officially welcome all of our YouTubers and our Facebookers. If this is your first time joining us, please let us know below, right there on the Facebook Live, under the comments. Let us know that this is my first time or I'm new. Let us know where you're joining us from. And we'd appreciate that so that we can acknowledge that you're here. You guys in podcast and on YouTube, you can contact us at endtimeheadlines.org. There's a place there you can contact us, and of course, under the YouTube comments. So today, we're going to get right into this thing, guys. We're going to do our top three. These are the top three trending stories on End Time Headlines. We're going to talk about a full moon harbinger. What in the world am I talking about there? You're going to have to stick around and find out what that's about. A giant UFO has been spotted over California, was seen by over 100 eyewitnesses. And a disturbing children's book that's being sold on Amazon and some other retailers that you want to hear about this if you've not already. So let's get right into this thing. Again, this is End Time Headlines. If this is your first time joining us, we welcome you to the program. And we're talking about our top three trending stories of this week so far. And we're going to get right into this thing. I want to talk about an article that we shared from Michael Snyder, from his website, from TMIN, that's the most important news.com. He did a piece on a harbinger for Trump. The last full moon of the decade will happen on 12/12 at exactly 12/12. So what are we talking about? Now, the very last full moon of 2019 or of the decade will take place on December 12th at precisely 12:12 a.m. Eastern Time. Again, there's only 31 days of the month of December. There's 24 hours in a day. Again, and there's 60 minutes an hour. So, again, I'm just giving you some, I'm going to quote this from Michael Snyder. He said, quote, "Doing some quick math, I discovered that there is just a one in 691,920 chance." Again, one out of 691,920 chance that the last full moon of this decade would randomly fall on 12/12 at exactly 12:12 a.m. Eastern. Now, he goes on and says that it could this be possible that the significance of this, and again, this is, I'm just presenting this, guys, you can make your own conclusions. Because many times when the Lord gives me something, I will tell you, this is from me. This is from our ministry. But again, I'm just sharing with you a piece that he shared that we have posted on End Time Headlines, and it's gone viral. So it's very intriguing. It's interesting, to say the least. Snyder goes on to say that, is it possible that this is a possible harbinger that is a warning of a unforeseen event or something that's about to take place? He went on to say that even ABC News is reporting it. And I pulled that article up. And this is from ABC News. This is the headline. Quote, "Decade's final full moon on December 12th at 12:12 a.m. Now I'm going to give you, this is from ABC News. "If you have a thing," this is the quote. Quote, "If you have a thing for moon phases or numbers, then mark your calendar for this upcoming celestial event. On December 12th or 12/12 at 12:12 a.m. Eastern, the cold moon will become a full moon according to the Farmer's Almanac. The midwinter full moon has a high trajectory across the sky, causing it to sit above the horizon for a long period of time. According to the Farmer's Almanac, the final full moon of the lunar cycle this year and of the decade is also known as the Long Night's Moon. It is a fitting title as winter solstice nears, which brings longer, darker nights. And on top of the numerical calendar fun, the next day is Friday the 13th. And again, we don't get into, I don't believe in, I don't want to get into superstition and all that stuff. And so we'll leave that to somebody that's not going to talk about that. But what I want to deal with is, again, Michael Snyder's emphasis on 12/12. He goes on to say, quote, "It's interesting to note that this strange confluence of numbers will only happen in the Eastern time zone of the U.S. and not anywhere else in the world. What immediately came to mind is the fact that this will happen just as the debate about the articles of impeachment is beginning in the U.S. House of Representatives. Quote, is the drama that is currently unfolding in D.C. going to represent some sort of major turning point for Trump or the nation as a whole? And he goes on to say, the other thing that immediately comes to mind is the fact that when the clock strikes 12, that it means that it's the midnight hour. And this is symbolic of that time is running out. Quote, could it be possible that the time has run out for America? Now, it's interesting because this actually kind of is on the, this kind of hinges on our last segment that we did when we talked about an alleged prophet by the name of Sadhu Sundar Selvaraj, that warned that if Trump does not complete his full term, then it would mean that the time of grace for America has aborted. So I find it interesting. I did find it interesting that this 12-12 falling on 12-12, it is falling on the same premises of this warning of this alleged prophet that is warned to keep our eyes on what's taking place in the White House and keep our eyes on what's going on and pray to see what happens. So it's, again, I know this can get a little weird, and by all means, I'm not saying that we should take a whole lot. Now, I will say this. This is interesting. The number 12, biblically, the number 12 is interesting. And let's talk about that for a second. In the book of Genesis, there were 12 sons of Jacob who formed the 12 tribes of Israel. And then you go to the New Testament, and there is 12 apostles. And then you go to the book of Revelation, there's 12 gates guarded by 12 angels. It talks about 12 consolations. The Sanhedrin was made up of a council of, I believe it was 12 or 70, but 12 is 12 is an interesting number because the number 12 represents governance. Again, the number 12 represents government. When you really break this down biblically, the number 12 does. So it's interesting. Again, I'm only throwing this out, guys. You don't shoot the messenger. Don't get mad at me. Don't get argumentative with me. Don't blast us. I'm only relaying, again, what was a piece that was written by Michael Snyder that I find interesting. I find intriguing. So you can do what you want, but I'm only sharing the information for you, and I find it very intriguing. So again, if you're just joining us for the broadcast, we're talking about the top three trending stories that are gone viral on End Time Headlines, and one of these is this a possible harbinger of this last full moon of the decade will transpire on 12-12 at exactly 12-12 Eastern. And the number 12, again, is the number, when you break it down, is the number of governance or government. So is this a harbinger? Is this something that the Lord is trying to get our attention with? After all, the Bible does say in Luke 21, Matthew 24, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars prior to the coming of the Lord. So again, you can find this article on endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you want to check it out when you get a chance, you're more welcome to do that. So let's move on to our second trending story this week. Now this, several sources, California, several local affiliates reported this, as well as national affiliates also reported this, but what is being alleged as a, quote, giant UFO was recently seen over the state of California and was reportedly seen by over 100 eyewitness accounts. Again, what they're calling a giant UFO. And again, that's a unidentified flying object. No one is saying that it was extraterrestrial. No one is saying it was Martians or aliens. Okay, but we're saying, again, that's what, a UFO, what the term UFO stands for. It's an unidentified, it's mysterious, it's unexplainable. But let me get to this. This is Sputnik was the source of this. And again, you can find this in multiple outlets have reported this. But quote, the object could have been taken for a drone or a skydiving vehicle if it had not been for a combination of facts. Quote, it did not move and there was no sound coming from it whatsoever. Again, this is all from eyewitness accounts. Quote, the internet as of late has went into a frenzy over an alleged weird object that hovered above the small California town of Manefe. Footage that first emerged on YouTube on the 3rd of December, despite originally being shot back in October 19th, sported a vast amount of lights with the glow leading viewers to think it could be a drone lurking in the clouds. However, on top of that, the object seems to be silent, stuck on the horizon without changing its position, making many conspiracy theorists likewise to rule out skydivers. And again, I'm going to read you a little bit of this quote. At one point, the huge... Now, this is from eyewitness accounts. This is from one eyewitness account that said, quote, at one point, the huge UFO was hovering in the same spot for over 5 minutes before it sped off into the night sky. Uploader UFOs and Aliens Santana wrote, quote, while another suggested that if so, then this is impressive footage. Users appear to be taking the perfectly realistic craft video seriously. Quote, I'm sharing this. UFO activity is increasing so fast, the world is going to get a big wake-up call, one eyewitness exclaimed. Whereas a second left some room for a bit of irony. Quote, another floating broken light bulb that needs to be replaced. A new ladder almost ready. Okay, let me read on down here. Again, you can find... I'm just going to leave it with this, guys. You can find... this full article again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can find this information. Now, this hinges off another reporting. Now, this one was all over Arizona. Residents of Mesa, Arizona have recently reported seeing, quote, mysterious lights in the sky, and none of them are quite sure what it means. According to ABC 15 Arizona affiliate, again, no one can identify what these lights were. Quote, there appears to be a giant orb hovering in the sky in Mesa, according to ABC 15. The giant orb reportedly drops flares on the ground as well, but yet they cannot be identified as flares. I'm going to read this a little bit here more too. According to ABC 15, DJ Meyer and Carrie Burnett said that they saw a, quote, pretty bright light that was about straight up over here, and it went straight that way, stopped, and it didn't seem like it was too far. Burnett went on to say it started moving kind of diagonal across. I was trying to figure out which way it was heading, and that's when we noticed it started dropping things from it. Quote, and then Meyer went on to say, it wasn't just us. Our neighbors next door, they were out. They weren't even filming, and they were in amazement like statues just watching. He went on to say that some said it may be an aircraft, and others said aliens or a comet. Now, here's what's interesting. According to KPAX, again, this is another local affiliate out of Arizona, the Federal Aviation Administration, or the FAA, Luke Air Force Base, and the Army National Guard all said they didn't know what the object was that was being reported or videotaped, and they had no understanding or no recollection of what it was. In other words, that pretty much rules out aircraft. That pretty much rules out skydivers. That pretty much rules out air balloons. That pretty much rules out flares. So again, now... Guys, listen, everybody that's from the Phoenix area, this is nothing new. This has been going on for years. And everybody that's from Phoenix already knows and is well aware of the Phoenix Lights incident that took place, what, back in 19, I don't even know the date. It was 1990-something. 97, 94, 96, 93, I don't know. I don't know right away. If I would have thought about this, I would have pulled this up and we could have talked about this a little bit more in detail. But there was the Phoenix Lights that went right over downtown Phoenix and made a pyramid, not a pyramid, but it was like an angle, like a boomerang shape that went straight, huge. This thing was massive. And it wasn't just seen by a couple guys or a couple teenagers. This was seen by multiple eyewitness accounts. Some of these were air pilots that seen this. This made all local news. And you can go search it up. Just type in, go under Google and type in Phoenix Lights. And you'll see all kinds. You can go on YouTube, look it. You can look at the video footage of it. It's all out there. So this is nothing new to the Arizona Phoenix. Again, what is this? What does it mean? Is this government secret? Is this aircraft that's being tested? Military aircraft that they don't want the government or the general public to know about. And it's under radar, or, you know, is this deception? Is this, you know, what is this? Again, we're just reporting the news, guys, and we're showing you, again, some of these things that's gone viral. Again, mysterious lights are shining over Mesa, Arizona, leaving residents puzzled. A giant UFO was seen in October. Over California, and over 100 eyewitnesses saw this. And again, somebody says, well, how is this biblical? How could this play into Bible? Well, again, when you go into, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians, or it's either 1 or 2 Thessalonians, Paul addresses the church of Thessalonica, and he talks about in the last days there will be lying signs and wonders. He talks about lying, signs and wonders. He talks about deception. And again, in Luke 21, it talks about there will be great and fearful signs and sights from heaven prior to the coming of the Lord. So I believe that this is only going to increase more as we get closer to the coming of the Lord. All right, now for our final story in this top three, this final story that's gone viral. And I'm just going to give it, this is from the Christian Post. And we shared this on endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. I'm going to give you the headline here. Amazon and Barnes & Noble selling book that encourages kids to, quote, summon playful demons. What in the world is going on here? A book called, the actual title of this book is called The Children's Book of Demons. Quote, leading national retailers are selling a recently released children's book that teaches children how to summon demons, which has alarmed many parents. At least two retailers appear to have since stopped selling the book. Released in July, the book titled A Children's Book of Demons is available in paperback and authored by illustrator Aaron Leighton, who describes himself as a, quote, fan of all things occult. As the holiday season gears up, the product is being sold by leading book retailers such as Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million. The book is marketed as appropriate for ages 5 and to 10 years of age. Let that soak in for a second. And here's how it's being marketed. Let me just read this quote. This is the marketing for this book called A Children's Book of Demons. Quote, don't want to take out the trash tonight? Maybe you're swimming in homework. Perhaps that big bully is being a real drag. The description of the book reads, well, grab your colored pencils and drawing skills and dial up some demons. This paranormal parody is filled to the brim with funny spirits, more silly than scary. So it's okay, guys. Again, obviously, I'm being sarcastic here. But these are not scary demons. These are funny spirits. The book is published by the Toronto-based Kuyama Press, a small press that publishes comics, graphics, novels, art books, and magazines. Quote, these pages contain an unruly bunch of spirits who are not company for the faint of heart. as they love nothing more than mayhem and mischief. A review of the book by the Canadian Review of Materials reads, quote, however, with a few tips and a little bravery, you can turn these unholy troublemakers into potential allies who can solve your most mysterious problems. But before you go playing with fire, there are a few things you should probably keep in mind. According to the review, Leighton introduces readers to as many as 20 demons throughout the book. The review also suggests that the, quote, concern that the author is leading children down an occult path will be dispelled. Again, I'm going to read that again. The review of this book suggests that the author of this book is leading children down an occult path, and this will be simply dispelled. Quote, the book was also reviewed by Publishers Weekly, which called the book a, quote, playful guide that invites readers to conjure gentle demons by writing their sigils, which serve as a, quote, phone number straight to the spirit. What? Guys, can I? I'm going to be on. Now, I want to interject my opinion here. I believe all this is a Ouija board for children. Because, listen, most people, well, I can't even say most people, but a lot of people won't dare put a Ouija board in their home. They won't give it to their children. They're not going to put it under a Christmas tree. They're not going to put one in their stocking. They're not going to let their kids play with it. Their teenagers play with it. So a Ouija board, no way. Get that thing out of here. Don't even bring it in here. But what if we watered it down and made it playful and entertaining and put it into a children's book? And then we could put it into the stocking, then put it under a tree, then we could put it on their Kindle, put it on their tablet, put it on their iPad, and put it in their hands. After all, these are not harmful spirits, these are playful spirits. According to Publishers Weekly, it's a, quote, playful guide that invites readers to conjure gentle demons. A sigil, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is defined as an inscribed or painted symbol considered to have, quote, magical power. In the book, sigils represent a, quote, magical symbol representing the letters of the demon's name. Hello? Guys, this is nothing, again, this is nothing more than a children's version of a Ouija board. Whew. An alarm was raised by blogger Elizabeth Johnson, who runs the popular Christian conservative blog ActivistMommy.com. She called the book, quote, garbage. Quote, as ridiculous as the demons contained in the book may be, there is nothing innocent or fun about even pretending to summon evil spirits, least of all as means of creative problem solving, Johnson, an Ohio homeschool mother, wrote. But who is to say it is pretend? The spirit world is real and is no laughing matter. I 100% agree. Guys, don't play with this stuff. You want Bible for it? Abstain from every appearance of evil. Here's another verse. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. I'm even going to the Old Testament that condemns associated with any type of sorcery, witchcraft, magic, soothsaying, necromancy, and the list goes on. So it blows my mind. Oh, but I could really stir up some stuff right here, because a lot of Christians don't see anything wrong with it. After all, they've got novels and novels and novels, and their books are filled with books that were so popular that they made an entire movie series out of them. And they're in their home right now. And they read them. And they entertain themselves with them. And they've got the videos. And they've got the books. And their children read them. And their children love them. And the schools welcome them. And in fact, schools do studies on them. And they do assignments based on this popular novel. And the author. And the videos of it. But what I don't know what's more disturbing, the fact that this is being embraced by the world or the fact that it's being embraced and condoned by Christians and Christian parents. In fact, when we posted this on endtimeheadlines.org and on our Facebook page, there was a lot of quote-unquote Christians in the section, under the comment section, that blasted anyone that opposed it and said that they were radicals or fundamentalists or they were just party poopers or they're just too serious. After all, this is just fun. There's nothing wrong with it. So again, hey, but who am I, right? I'm just sharing the information with you. You're going to do what you're going to do anyway, but I'm just letting you know, again, this book, A Children's Book of Demons, is there's a lot of fire. It's already spun a lot of firestorm on a lot of websites, a lot of news outlets. And in fact, it's so bad that some retailers have gotten so much feedback about it from parents that they have stopped selling the book. But as far as I know, Amazon has still got it up. And I'm not sure about Barnes & Nobles or these other retailers. So again, this is just something to let you know what's going on out there to keep you informed. You may want to know about this because, listen, as you as a parent may not know about it, but doesn't mean your kids don't. You'd be surprised what your kids may know that you don't. And your kids are looking at that you don't. So, again, just FYI, this is something that is out there that you need to know about. So, again, we hope that you've appreciated this segment. I know we weren't on here long, about 30 minutes. Again, this is endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, if you'd like to know what we're about, what our mission and statement is, and so on and so forth, you can follow us under endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You're going to see a place where you can subscribe. Again, you guys on podcasts, if you'll wait till the end of this broadcast, you'll hear all that information. You guys on YouTube as well. You guys on Facebook, you're going to be right there under the Facebook link, under the description where it says support and follow. You're going to see a link. You can click on that. You can go to our main website and there you can support and you can follow our ministry. If our ministry is a blessing to you, if it's a word of encouragement, if it's a word of hope, edification, equipping, then please let us know. And by all means, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, please help us to remain strong through your prayers, your support, and your partnership of this ministry. Now, guys, we're going to close off today, but we're going to be back on here tomorrow. We're going to shift gears and we're going to get away from the headlines and we're going to continue our series on revival and awakenings. And we're going to do our third part of this. And we're going to talk about John Wesley. We're going to talk about who he was, why he was instrumental in the First Great Awakening, some of the principles that he lived by, and how he influenced the Methodist Church, how the Methodist Church came about. So you want to stick around and come on here tomorrow, and we're going to talk about that. And so you don't want to miss that. So as we continue our series on revival and awakening. So we love you guys. God bless you again. Thank you for all of our all your prayers, your support, and your partnership to this ministry. We're closing out today, and we say God bless you, and we will see you tomorrow.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.